I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me. And the cost is more than I can bear.
A past he wanted to forget.
I've been to war, and I have no desire to do so again. I have 7 children. I do not wish to leave them fatherless.
A family threatened by war.
We have to do something.
I forbid you to go!
My child!
You're my child!
A son fighting for his beliefs.
Father, I thought you were a man of principle.
When you have a family of your own, perhaps you'll understand.
When I have a family of my own, I won't hide behind them.
Hang him, put his body on display.
Colonel, I beg you, by the rules of war.
Would you like a lesson, sir, in the rules of war?
Or perhaps your children will.
Before this war is over, I'm going to kill you.
Why wait?
I'll come back. Might I request, sir, that you transfer my son here under my command? I'll fire first. Start with the officers.
We don't know when or where they're going to strike.
Where'd you learn all that riding, shooting?
My father taught me. How many were there?
Maybe one.
One man. Sounds more like a ghost than a man.
This ghost, bring him to me.
How many men does Cornwallis have under his command?
12,000 redcoats.
I'm here to enlist every man willing. Who's with us?
This is not the conduct of a gentleman.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Hey, welcome back to the movies. I'm your host, Ted Flint. As always, we are part of Tailgate Society. Find us on your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher's Dead, just like that child. What am I missing? iHeart? Apple? Did I say Apple? Spotify? The gods? I don't think anything else. Or just download us off of RSS. I think you can do that. Anyways, we are back. This is Back to the Movies, this is a podcast in which we revisit a movie or watch a movie that one of us hasn't ever seen. We were going to do this for the 4th of July, but then, you know, life happened, so... Just imagine you're listening to this at your 4th of July barbecue. Time is no concept.
It'd be perfect entertainment for 4th of July barbecue.
Right. Put on the loudspeakers, get on the Bluetooth going. We are picking 2000's The Patriot by Emmerich something. I just bumbled his name. Roland Emmerich. I think that's right.
Yes, and, Roland Emmerich.
Go to tailgateside.com or follow us on Blueski, I know we're here with, we decided to bring on former Twitter King Cowboy Hat. His Blueski name is Professor G, I believe, something. He is a professor at a college that will not be named because we don't want Trump to come after him. So, here, that's a thing these days. Now he's gone. It's fine. I'm on numerous lists. Our old microwave just be attached to Amazon. So, like, that microwave saw me do things that got me on the list. Anyways. Before we start, if you're just joining us and you're like, hey, I want to listen to this podcast about The Patriot and you haven't actually seen it and you just enjoy listening to us discuss it, we are going to spoil this movie in 90 seconds or less. And like I said, I am here with Jake Voss, Sean Chantez Festerman, and Professor G, King Cowboy Hat. I'm just going to call him KCH. I don't know what I'm going to call him. We're going to figure it out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting night. I'm going to call him everything but his actual name because, you know, that would just be too easy. Anyways, normally I have a wheel. And I spin the wheel, and that's what I pick. But instead, I'm going to carry the computer out. I have set up a hatchet throwing thing on my tree. As you can see, hang on. There's the tree. I'm going to put the computer down. I'm going to throw hatchets at this thing, and whoever's name it hits, that person picks. I have a very sharp hatchet that I sharpened myself with one of those big stone sharpening things that they have in this period. I think it's still a thing. What are those called? Mills? A hatchet mill? Is that what it's called? Anyways, something. Sharpener. My son's over there by the next to the log. As you see, he's giving me a thumbs up. So hopefully he'll be fine. Little William Tell here. This is fine. All right. Stretching it out. And... Oh! All right. Missed everything. It happens. You want to bring it back?
Should have made a bigger target.
Well, you know what? When you're using, What I did is I cut a circle out of a pizza box, and then I cut that over to a piece of wood, and I made it, and it should have been bigger. All right. So anyways. Oh, that would hurt. That's a shoulder. You know what? Fuck it. King Cowboy Hat. I don't feel like hurting myself tonight. You have 90 seconds or less to spoil the shit out of 2000's The Patriot.
All right. So this movie is set during the beginnings of the Revolutionary War. Our main character, played by Mel Gibson, I'm blanking on the character's name right now.
Benjamin Gates? Benjamin something.
No, it's not Gates. Martin.
Is Gates Martin. From is from
Benjamin
National
Martin?
Treasure?
Yeah.
Yes, Benjamin yeah. Gates is National Treasure.
And there is actually a Gates character in the movie.
There is
it?
A Gates.
Okay. Anyway, so he is asked whether or not he wants to go to be part of the revolution. The revolution's beginning. The declaration or the colonies are seceding. He's like, "Nah, I'm not doing it." Well, lo and behold,
he has children.
He has several children.
He has seven. He starts with seven.
Yeah, one of his sons, who is played by, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name.
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, thank you, goes off and he's going to fight in the war despite his father telling him not to. Well, a few years pass, he shows back up, the British show up, and in basically through a series of events, one of his other sons is killed, and Heath Ledger is taken off basically to be executed and tried. This, of course, riles Mel Gibson up, who apparently has a history, military history, dark one, and he goes and rescues Heath Ledger and basically
murders everyone.
Murders a whole squadron of British quite dramatically. And from there, Mel Gibson now becomes part of the war, becomes commander, and basically fights a guerrilla war against the British in South Carolina. And as the story goes on, you know, there's a lot of kind of relationships there's building. There's a lot of filler, lots of kind of back and forth. And long story short, Heath Ledger falls in love with a girl that the British begin to crack down on the colonists, do some rather nasty things as they were portrayed. And Heath Ledger's love interest ends up getting killed. And in response, he and several of the people from that village go, and Heath Ledger's character is killed. And so now the main bad guy, Tarleton, as he's called, is Mel Gibson is out to get him.
Like, he was already mad, but now he's
really
already mad.
Now he's real mad. Now he's going to kill him. And so so the final scene, or basically the final kind of part of the movie, act of the movie, is this battle of what is, they don't officially call it this, but it is the Battle of Cowpens. And Mel Gibson sort of, you know, comes up with the plan that's going to work. They trick the British into attacking and lure them to a trap. And Mel Gibson sort of leads the charge to carry the day, almost gets killed by Tarleton, but then ends up actually, of course, getting his vengeance. And then the movie ends, of course, with the Americans surrounding the British at Yorktown and the French cutting them off. And that ultimately ends the war. And whoever's left of
Mel Gibson saves America.
Yeah, Mel Gibson helps save America. And then afterwards, everyone who was part of his entourage that was still alive lives happily ever after.
Yeah. We're going to go through this movie. My main, like, normally I start with like, so the main question I have is like, who, like, anyone who has like first, like, memories of this movie and whatnot. Like, I definitely saw this in my small town Iowa theater. And like, this guy made Independence Day. This guy made Stargate. This guy made Godzilla, which isn't great, but like, my main complaint about this movie, which, like Sean said, is 2 hours and 40 minutes long, is it's fucking boring for large chunks. And I'm like, how did this guy make all these fun, like 2012, like with Mel Gibson right off of Braveheart, like, and just like, it just, there's just large chunks where I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, sure. But like, can something happen? So I remember not liking it. I have a very distinct reason why I didn't like it when I first saw it. I think this might be the second time I've seen it now or third time. We'll get into it. I have thoughts. I just feel like if we're gonna go, we need like, I feel like I need like a Team America world police version of this, where it's just like, if we're gonna lean into it, like, just like, go full into it. Like, he had a chance to stab that dude through the heart with the American flag at the end of this movie, and he didn't do it. Like, I'm just like, that's how this movie should end, and I should be, like, annoyed that that's how it ends. Like, he was sharpening the point of the flagpole. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, it is. It is definitely the lead up to it, and even, like, not to get wildly ahead of things of what we may recap, but, like, man, this has a... has an entire build-up scene of him and his son, played by Heath Ledger, doing the split up to get the band together montage. Go and like even guys. That recruiting montage, and like, it's not a montage, it's 45 minutes of scenes of just like, hey man, does anybody want to fight? They're like, okay, yeah, we'll fight. Like, we're sick of shit. It's a lot of stuff, and like, it's one of my big notes of this movie is just like, I think so. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes. I think you can get this to 2 hours and 15 minutes alone, just if you take away a lot of the meandering between lines. Like, if you just have people deliver lines, there's a lot of standing around and awkward. And I know that's to build suspense and the drama of war.
It's 40 minutes in, like, when he kills everybody, but 35 minutes to get to the point where he just murders a battalion and his children, who are like, how old do you think those kids are that they're killing those soldiers? 10, 12?
The youngest is probably 8, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to add some thoughts of that kid's brain. Anyways, well, you know,
the kids he has shoot the officers. Yeah, I would say, yeah, like 7 and 11, something like that.
I was thinking
that.
8 and 12, something like that. Yeah,
yeah. And just, and the older kid afterwards is just going, yeah, I liked doing that. And she's like, that's probably a problem. Like, that's, yeah, but I mean, that is all things considered. Like, as I'm watching this movie go on, like, that is. Because I guess to kind of backtrack, when he does his whole, when they're having the town hall of voting of whether they're going to go to war and stuff like that, and he has the thing, and just like, he has the speech of, we're not having the war on a frontier or somewhere off, you don't see that. Like, it's going to happen in front of our kids. They're going to, and obviously that's a little bit of foreshadowing.
He meant that literally.
Right. But it was the stuff, like, it literally was happening in people's backyards, you know, where you could hear it, and your parents were dying 10 miles away, sort of stuff.
So, like,
yeah,
am I the only one that's the, like, God, did you see us in the theater? I saw us in the theater. Do anyone else see us in the theater? Is it just me? It came out in 2000, so Jake was 7 and Sean was like 10.
I would have been 16. Is that right? No, I was probably 15 when it first came out. So I don't think I saw it in the theater, but I know I saw it at some point when I was in high school, because that would be my first memory. And this is going to sound, because I was kind of racking my brain on this.
September 11th happened. You're like, God damn it. Let's put this movie on.
No, actually, my first memory, this is super nerdy. This is why I like, I'm a history professor. One of our history high school history professors, our American history professor, let me do some extra credit where I looked up the character of Tarlington and see what actually.
So is he a real character? Because
he is a real figure, but what happens to him is because
Thomas Gates isn't, he's based on the swamp rat. I mean,
Benjamin Martin,
god damn it.
No, he does not try to steal the Declaration of Independence in this one. He's there to protect it.
Should watch that.
Basically.
They've barely even written it at this point.
So I did some extra credit, looked up Tarlington, basically. And he was a real figure. He was not as, like bad as he is portrayed in the movie. He's not, like, this evil, villainous character. But he was kind of... under Cornwallis and kind of a in that position, and did do maybe some, you know, things like that are portrayed, but not nearly as gruesome and
like burn monstrous. A church down. Like,
yeah, put yeah, everybody in a church and
yeah, burn it down. Yeah, yeah. They're and actually, if you look it up, one of the things that is criticized this movie is the fact that it has a lot of anti quote unquote anti British sentiment and or negative portrayals of the British, which you know, okay. But he actually does go back.
Yeah, no shit.
They lost a war. So, yeah.
So anyway, so he does go back actually and live out his life sometime later on. So he survives the war. But the Benjamin Martin character is loosely based upon an actual historical figure known as Francis Marion.
Which I know that person. I've heard of this
yeah,
person.
Yeah, he's a nerd. Yeah, so he's known as the Swamp Fox. And so, again, a lot of what they portray Benjamin Martin doing is similar to the type of guerrilla warfare that Francis Marion carried out against the British and helped kind of create an uncomfortable situation for the British in the South that would ultimately force them to.
I feel like if you're called the Swamp Fox now, you're just a bigger dude who's just constantly sweating. Certainly could be. Oh, there's Swamp Fox. You can see his sweat dripping down his back. Like, just that's, you know. Like, yeah. Why do you call him Swamp Fox? Always wet? Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, we call him Swamp Fox. Well, wait until humanity gets over 80%. You'll understand. So, anyways, yeah, like, I like that Benjamin Gates.
Martin?
No, God damn it! Martin is based on a real character. So, yeah, so, like, it takes 40 minutes.
Usually that's how that goes, though. Like in these movies, they'll take like one main person, and from what I read, like maybe some other other people, and kind of bring them all into one. And it's not actually a real person, but it's, you know, taking bits and pieces from.
Which my main criticism, and I'll let Jake tell me his first memories up before I get into why it's annoying that he's a fake person. But Jake, like, when do you remember this movie?
I mean, this again, we've been doing these movies that are like the late 90s to early 2000s, where, you know, probably 10 to 14 range. I'm guessing more like 10 for this movie when it starts coming out and being on TV or something, or it's, you could, you know, you can go rent it from the movie store. Cause I do, there were actually more parts of this movie. I mean, and it's probably a handful or maybe a little over a handful of like very specific things that happened in this movie that I either remembered before vaguely, or as I was watching, I was like, oh yeah, here at some point, this is going to happen. And I don't know. I doubt I've watched this movie in the last 20 years or whatever. I mean, you know, maybe a couple times around that 10 to 12 range, but I know I haven't sat down and watched it in a very long time, which it's probably a good reason for that. If I'm not renting the movie, if it was ever on TV, it was probably about 4 hours long. So
I went and bought this movie for $2.50 at a Goodwill. It's not in my collection. It is just there.
And also, I guess, just kind of to go off of what Jake was saying, that obviously, you know, a couple years older, but like, I remember this movie coming out. I remember there at least being like a marketing budget, ads for it. You know, it's Mel Gibson's the fucking man that saves
America.
Dude,
it was like, dude, that made him Independence Day. Like, yeah. That's all I needed. This, like, I'm in.
But I was 10 years old, so I didn't see it in theaters. I will say, honest to God, until I watched it today in a bar on my phone, I had probably seen. I know I had seen bits and pieces of this movie, like maybe
you
like
know
45
you could bring a fire stick
movie.
To the bar and watch it on the TV there, right? Like that's an option.
I can't. We were watching The Price is Right too.
I love how Ted's biggest problem with this this new bit that whatever you want to call it that I actually think is fucking hilarious, but his problem with it is not the fact that you're like at the bar and possibly distracted and have other things going on.
Small ass screen.
The size of the screen that you're watching it on is
Christopher Nolan's going to kick in your fucking door and fucking put a gun in your goddamn teeth and be like, find a bigger screen.
Well, I mean, this movie didn't need a bigger screen.
Well, fucking Armageddon did.
No, it didn't. I promise you it didn't. But even just so like I
you have no know, idea what you got into when you came on this podcast, brother. I apologize in advance.
I know for sure I had never seen this movie end to end. Like, I didn't know a lot of the storylines in it, as far as like the whole his wife
him
was
trying
gone.
To bone
his wife was
dead sister's his dead wife's sister.
But yeah, I got notes about that. but
it was a different time.
That his wife is dead, and so it is just we're going to war. And like I said, even that whole town hall meeting at the beginning when he makes his little speech, you're just like, I'm not a fighter anymore. I'm a parent, blah blah blah. And I don't know. I mean, some of that, like, at least watching it, if you do try and place yourself in there, I bet there were, and I guess they even do fall into it, trying to recruit a ton of these people in the church in different towns down the road. Just like, there's a lot of people who have
maybe don't recruit them in a church, apparently. Just saying.
Well, I mean, it's
really amount of building. I was like, why didn't they just jump out the window? I'm like, oh, then they just would have got shot. So
they have notes on that too. But yeah, it's just there's a lot of people. I'm sure there were a lot of people who had a lot of what they thought were justified reasons of, this is why I won't fight, because I can't die, because I have families, I have faith, I have things that were, in theory, can I build a life better for children and generations to come? Absolutely. But we could also get mowed down by the British Army, which is one of the best in the world at the time. I would rather not take a lead bullet through the heart from apparently the most accurate fucking shooters in rifleman history.
But enough about his children, who apparently can just mow down soldiers.
Just there's marksmen everywhere on these battlefields. It's incredible. Even
aim
with
small,
cannons.
Hit small. What the fuck's that even mean? Is that from this movie? Aim hold, hit
aim small. Aim small, miss small. It's a great quote.
What's it is. So I didn't know that was from this movie, but that is what I've been told for now 15 years when I throw darts. It is aim small, miss small.
Okay, so let's just dive into that, like, as like into the best quotes. But like, what does that quote even mean? Am I just stupid that I don't know what that quote means? I mean, yes, I am stupid. That is well known.
Okay, so here's the premise, all right? So, and the reason why I got this when I was playing golf, I was kind of thinking about the same type of thing. So if you aim for a small target, miss as small area. You want to aim for as small as target as you can. Be precise. Don't try to aim for a general area. And then try to get as close to that target if you can. If you miss, miss by as little as possible. So this way, it is the mentality of, I'm not shooting at a person, I'm shooting at a button. If I miss the button, I'm still hitting the person. Right. Whereas if I'm shooting at a person, I miss the person, then I miss my target completely.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, and that's in golf's a good representation of that. If I'm aiming at the pin, if I miss the pin by 20% of what I'm aiming at, it's way smaller than if I'm aiming at the green and I miss by 20%. Like, that's just, it's such a wider range. And like I said, I learned it through throwing darts. If you throw it bullseyes, if okay. you're focused on bullseyes, if you're aimed at bullseyes, if you miss by three little pinholes,
right, you're still right. looking pretty good.
That's missing small. But if you're just aiming at the board and you miss by three worth of that, you're hitting the wall on the outside of the dartboard. Like, it's just, you're not even close.
I want you to see me throw darts. I think you saw me in Kansas City, but obviously none of that counts because that was a long day. But my shoulders are so completely fucked that, like, I had to throw, like, from my chest. I can't throw it like this. I have to, like, throw it like this.
So you're like, your chest past the darts?
Like, yeah, chest. And
darts aren't shoulders. It's all wrist. I'll like, teach you one of these things.
Just holding like this. Just this right here causes pain. Just going that high. Too many years of wrestling, getting the shit kicked out of me.
So the you guys bring up to actually bring it back to the movie and things in the movie. You bring up the marksman and how everybody is just like shooting whatever they want in the movie for the most part. The biggest thing about that is not how good one person actually is at that. It's the fact that everything is smoothbore and not rifled. And so, like, you can aim at a point, and depending on how far you're shooting, you're going to be like potentially feet off by the time that that little ball gets to wherever right. It's going to hit something.
Yeah, where it goes. Yeah.
Actually, I will make one comment on that, if I may. Not everything was going to be smoothbore. All the British stuff was going to be smoothbore. However, a number of probably the rifles, they were called rifles, that Benjamin Martin grabs out of his house and uses for that scene where he slaughters the squadron command would have been potentially been rifled. There were quote unquote marksmen within the Revolutionary armies. They were kind of quasi snipers, and they would use again special again rifled.
So what is smoothbore?
Smoothbore. Okay, so think about it. I actually teach this in my class. So smoothbore is basically you have a cylinder tube, and it's just complete. Like if you had a piece of PVC pipe, and you looked in the center, looked down it, it's just smooth.
Okay.
With a compared to a rifle, which has the these grooves that
so the, like the inside of the James Bond symbol when it's spinning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so
basically, what it does, vortexes the bullet.
Yes. So it's like throwing a spiral versus throwing a wounded duck. So yeah. The idea is it imparts spin on it. So like rifling doesn't really become a major thing until like mass production, until like the Civil War. But there are kind of these rifles that are produced. But the reason why they're not used by the British forces is because
they're a bunch of bitches.
No, because they take longer to load. Because you have to have it at this point, you have to load
it separate. Yeah.
It has to be really, really tight to take the grooves. So it takes a lot more time to ram it home and get it set up and get it ready to go.
Okay.
Whereas the British are just in those formations. They want to load them as fast as they can and fire that next volley.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said all, but it was just like, even when you see people just like one-on-one, like looking at each other 30 yards away and shooting each other, it's like, if that's not rifled, like you don't know where you're going to hit that person most of the time.
Oh, for sure. Like,
well, that's why they're firing in those big lines, because they're just like, let's try to see as many people as we
can. Still can't believe that, like, for how many years that was just to play. Like, we're just going to have
I have some notes about that. It just even for that being in the Revolutionary War of being.
It was still happening in the Civil War.
And in the Civil War, but just like that's an insane way to do war. And this is
like just the balls it would take just to be some schmuck. Like,
but that's
in
also
line, right? Like it's just in line knowing that like
it's that's also luck. Like 8,000 years vaguely after weaponized war started. Like they used to just run at each other with daggers and shit and just that you made off of rocks. It's crazy. I mean, and now we're at the point of nobody has to see each other, and now you have Iran wanting to you can nuke anybody you fucking want. Different game for sure, but it's I can't imagine, and especially like it is nuts. And I know they do a couple scenes of it of just like they had the whole conversation of, you know, the British had the whole thing, and there were rules of war. You don't shoot at the officers. You don't shoot at the flag bearers. You don't shoot at the band. You don't shoot at. Why would you trot out a fucking band?
You leave.
What are we doing? But that was just the way.
So
war was then,
and then we have this tricky the ghost or whatever his nickname is. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about his trickiness as ambushing, but also real quick, where does Jason Patrick's villain? I'm going to try to pronounce the British asshole's name. Someone else,
Tarlington.
Tarlington rank as like just all time, just deserves whatever is coming to him. Kills two sons.
It's pretty far wife, up there. I mean,
burns the church.
The church thing is like
for land, basically. He's like, tell me about Ohio. Like, just like straight up, I'll do whatever you need.
Yeah, pretty remorseless, that type of thing. Yeah, that is, and that's probably a
stupid boy or whatever he says after he kills the first one. Like, just like,
yeah,
should have ducked, basically. Like,
we shouldn't have tried to break him out.
Yeah, and they do, and that's, I think they do a really good job in this movie, at least. with him obviously being this ruthless guy who is, he's gonna do anything possible. He's gonna be just, these are all traitors. I don't give a fuck if we kill them all. It is what it is. And even in that, when they roll up to the Martin house, when he has, you know, he's aiding wounded from both sides. And that, what is it, his captain or whatever that comes up and he's like, you know, thank you.
My favorite part of that part is like
pretending to, and just as soon as the other guy rolls up and he's just like, burn the house down, kill all the wounded, you know, this and that. And like that captain does a pretty good facial job of expressing like, yo, man, this is fucked up. Like, this is not how we treat people. These are still
right.
At the time, cousins, family, brethren, as they say, you know, as they get into the Cornwallis meetings after that. And he's just like, the way you act reflects on me. This is not how we act in war. Because if this is the way you act, everybody's going to turn on us. Like, if you're just murdering people in cold blood for no fucking reason. And then you have the standoff of, yeah, it's the, well, why do you can't aim at our officers? And he's just like, well, then stop killing our women and children. And he's like, well, that's different. It's just like, buddy, well, we got to meet a middle ground somewhere. And he's just like, no, we're good.
So what,
I'll keep killing your families. And it's, well, I'll keep killing your officers then.
I did love when he, some of the guys gets captured and he like has the scarecrows up on the hill and like convinces them to give him up, which I freaking love that part. And
then he steals his dogs.
He steals his dogs.
Dog is a fine meal.
Not only steals his dogs, but his dogs become loyal to him.
Well, that's what I mean, maybe you should treat your dogs better and, you know, they'd be loyal to you instead of somebody that stole them initially.
Also, then blows a bunch of ships and whatnot. So let's discuss real quick. Like he said, he kills one of the kids. And like my favorite part is like Heath Ledger's character, Gabriel, is like hiding like he's wounded. Then like they call him out and then he's in uniform within 5 seconds. Like, I don't know if you guys caught that. Like he's went from like being a white shirt to like having like the full ass dress uniform on. I'm like,
yeah, he couldn't stand blood pouring down him. Just, and then, yeah, the next day he's just, no, that was me. I'm ready to fight again.
So, my biggest issue with this movie, besides him trying to bone his dead wife's sister, they kill so many people on Benjamin Thomas. Fuck.
Martin
Gates.
Martin Benjamin. No Gates. There's no Gates.
Benjamin Martin.
Anyways, I feel like the one kid alone, since this is a fictional character, is enough. I feel like they go completely, and sure, they want to kill Gabriel's wife and a bunch of people in the church. Not a fan of that. It's kind of like when they crash the second plane and they crash the plane in the second Die Hard. I'm just like, feels like that's kind of like overkill. Don't know why that's in there. There's a dinosaur behind my back.
It's a good dinosaur.
And then he kills Gabriel. Like, he kills Ledger's character. I'm just like, at some point, like, do we need to keep killing members of this dude's family for us to be like, oh no, now he's really angry. Like, now he really deserves what he gets. Like, I don't think Heath Ledger's character needs to die.
I mean,
I feel like that's overkill. That does not have to happen. He can hurt him. Wound him, make him have to go away from the front. Like, he's in the hospital somewhere. He might not wake up.
Like, am I alone in this? You're all staring at me like an asshole.
I don't have the issue with it. You do. I can understand your point of view on it. This was Heath Ledger's character dying was one of the handful or more moments that I did remember in the movie, even before starting it. But yeah, I understand your point. I mean, they kill Anne, his new wife or whatever, in the church when they burn everybody. And so this is, I mean, I don't know.
That shouldn't happen either.
Well, there's a lot of things that probably shouldn't happen.
Does anything happen to that dude that joins the British, the guy from Firefly that's just on the British's side?
No, he just has to live with the fact that he threw the first torch on the church and probably kills himself at some point.
Well, good.
Well, if I can say one thing, part of the reason I don't mind that scene, and because I think it's one of the themes of the movie that I appreciate more generally, is that oftentimes American Revolution is portrayed kind of in this very hagiographic, I'm not sure how to say, but very kind of positive manner, like, hey, everybody's on board with this, you know, we fought for our freedom, all these patriots and blah blah blah, and you know, won freedom, and it was like, you know, easy to some degree. And that's, I think, one of the main themes of the movie that I really appreciate. One of the reasons I like this movie is it's like, no, it wasn't. This was a movie. This was an event in American history, a very important foundational event in American history, and it required a lot of sacrifice. And a lot of people made sacrifices that they did not want to have to make. But ultimately, that was a core component. You cannot separate the founding of the nation, independence, things like that, from sacrifice and or
right loss. like well, you just taught the me Valley Forge stuff.
I didn't know hagiographic was a word.
It's hagiography is a term for a, like, usually like a biography about a person that is like just like the best, like how awesome they were. Yeah. It's oftentimes referred, usually like religious figures, that type of thing, oftentimes they have those types of things, how wonderful they were, that type of thing.
And their skin color changes. It's weird how that works.
Excessively flattering and idealizing its subject. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I think we have a president who might have a few of those coming. I completely get that, and I agree with you that it is. I think it is.
But 2/7 of his children? Come on.
Some people lost more.
Yeah, and that's that is what it is. Like, I bet.
I mean, that one guy lost his kid and put a bullet in his head.
For sure, yeah. There's,
so, like, they could have moved a lot faster to save his ass, by the way. It's a slow-loading gun. Like, I think they had a minute.
No, I think it was already loaded. It's just, you know.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of, and they do some of that, of these other guys, role characters that are telling their stories, that they've lost their wives, they've lost their kids, they're moving and doing this. And even with that guy who's fighting for the British, like, they obviously make it a point to cut to him numerous times of, you know, just, why are you fighting on our side? Why are you turning against your neighbors? Just, well, because I'm a fighter for the king and his country, in our country, and blah blah blah. And obviously, in some of that, and I don't doubt a lot of these guys push the limits on just like, okay, how much are you willing to sacrifice of literally killing your neighbors, of are you willing to do this stuff and put them in line, and just,
well,
yo, you make the first move, like, because you prove your allegiance. It is, that's, I mean, that's part of the game of war when you're bringing guys from the other side.
So are you, on your side, if you're in the church, are you trying to go through the window? Like, what's your plan?
They boarded all the windows up. They put the,
yeah, they had those big ass pews. I'm saying they're like, you
they
have
lit the church on fire, and then they boarded the windows. There was nobody on the backside. Everybody could have at least tried to run out, and a few people could have got away.
I'm just saying, like, you have plays.
I rewound it like three times. There was just,
Sean's like showing the phone to strangers at the bar. Look at these goddamn idiots. I guess it was the back of the church.
But it is also a level of, I think they were all just, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt because, again, panicking. Movie. But yeah, it's shock and it's panic, and it's, you don't know what's happening because it is this one guy.
First thing I thought was like, use a pews as battering ram. But I'm like, wait, then you're going to get shot.
But I feel like, yeah, you're shot, all getting shot as soon as you get out the windows anyway.
Which is better than burning alive. Just saying.
No, they probably died from smoke inhalation anyways. But
that makes it better.
Well,
perfect.
They at least passed out from smoking.
And if I will say, one of the
and then they all burned alive.
Burned so much that the necklace was just sitting there in the ash. They burnt that woman to nothing.
Was still on fire. There's no way that pendant wasn't super fucking hot and he just picked it up with his fingers.
I've had a lot of problems with the church scene.
Jake just has his head down. He's not going to.
That's not how fire works.
I've seen special metals in other movies that you can pick up that are hot. I've seen this.
Sure.
I don't think you incinerate all of the bodies and the pendant just fucking sitting there. That's for sure.
With some of the rope still.
But in KCH, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
I was going to say, kind of taking it back to another thing that I appreciate about the movie was the fact that they have the loyalists, which was a big part of the Revolutionary War. Not everyone was on board.
Still is.
And some of them were very much adamant in their resistance and were willing to fight for the British side. And so that was, especially in South Carolina, there were a lot of loyalists in South Carolina. And likewise with Benjamin Martin at the beginning in the conference.
Today is there's a bunch of dirty cocks in South Carolina.
Yeah, there always have been. South Carolina's always got they're always starting some shit, especially the early 19th century. But
a few people who are trying to game the system, a couple cocks trying to game the system, South Carolina game cocks,
or something or other, just starting shit. Anyways, continue.
But then Benjamin Martin being hesitant to join the revolution, which was again another thing that a lot of times it's kind of glossed over that. Once the revolution gets started, some people are on the fence. They don't know which way to go.
It was nice that he was one of the few people that had servants, not slaves. So that way they could go hide there on the beach and they were his friends.
Oh no.
Are we going to, let's get into the, questions is, what moments take you completely out of the movie?
Where is that beach? Are they on an island? I have questions about this fucking magical.
I think there's
they're
to be
in
like,
Bermuda.
I think there's
what are you
to be
talking
like
about
on Hilton Head.
Is that a thing?
There was actually a thing. There was like some.
There's probably a level. Yeah, in 1700s.
There were some escaped slave colonies that existed in
Hilton Head,
kind of the
South Carolina
Hilton Head region and stuff like that. That eventually, you know, the white people kicked them all.
I about said something super inappropriate. I caught myself. It's fine.
That's later on, but. So one of the things that just always, every time I watch it, takes me right out of the movie is like, also he comes in, this is what the British did too. It's part of the reason they pissed off the South during this period was they were freeing slaves and said that they could fight on their side. And so that really pissed off a lot of Southerners when they started doing that. But him saying, we're free. We just work on, we're free men who work on this. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. That is probably the one thing where they are whitewashing. Like,
oh no, he's a good South Carolina plantation
the Benjamin
owner.
The Benjamin Martin character, they are. Yeah, that was some serious whitewashing right there. And every time I see it, I'm just like,
it's a strange little thing because they do the whole like when they get to the house and they're just like, oh yeah, no, we're free and he pays us and this and that, but then. As soon as they get to the where we get little chunky McFluffer stuff that reads the post from George Washington,
dude's from Ground like, for Life.
If you serve,
I like that guy. He's also in a bunch of other stuff.
How do you like that? Oh, the guy in general, or just the character? Because the character is a piece of shit. He can
no, he comes he, back around. He figures it out. He's
no, like, no, no, no. I think he came back around for like 6 months and then I bet he was a real piece of shit after that.
You can fight by me any day.
Because you've saved my life, but then I'm also still gonna buy slaves for the next 100 years. Like there's
he probably couldn't afford slaves anyways.
Well, I bet he has a cousin who was really wealthy and he just really looked up to it. But yeah, it's just it is. Yeah. I will agree with you. It is definitely a little bit of, not a little bit of whitewashing, but I mean, the whole thing is definitely some whitewashing of what he's one of the. He's the only black person in the movie that doesn't die. Everybody else gets shot in the chest.
Hey, a bunch of the slaves at Hilton Head, they survive.
So is Hilton Head, explain Hilton Head to me, because I looked it up and also saw a bunch of resorts. So what?
So is I don't know if it's specifically
Hilton Head. Yeah, there's a lot of golf courses there now. Yeah. There's a
no, it used to be there was a number of freed slaves that would had made communities over there. I'm not sure if it was necessarily during the early part of the 19th century, but I think a little bit later on, late 19th century after the end of slavery, stuff like that, there were some communities over there. And then
is it like a hidden beach? Like, is it off?
It's just on the beach. And then the white people came in and were like, hey, this is prime real estate, and basically kicked all the black people off of there, that type of thing. Yeah, so we've
kind of got a reputation.
Probably one of those stuff. Gates kids that didn't get killed.
Not,
I mean, that was kind of
Gates, Ted.
I mean, there were.
I'm actively trying. I'm not. This is not a thing. I swear to God.
So it's based off an actual historical thing, even if it's not necessarily, again, representative of what exactly it was. Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking for, I don't know, 4 minutes. Can we discuss the cannon that takes that dude's fucking skull? Like, just cleans, takes like that's good.
That skips off
fair shot.
What about the one that takes off the guy's leg?
That's pretty good too. Considering that can't hit the ground first, like that has some trick.
Both of them hit the ground. Good spin, good English on it.
Mm-hmm. I knew the headshot was coming up. So like,
bad phrasing.
My son was like on his phone playing like some game. I like make sure like a tap is short. Like, hey, yeah, this, yeah, like, gotta watch this, and then just full on like 13-year-old being like, oh, like in the head.
Just like, I will say when I was sitting at the bar watching it on my phone. My buddy is the bartender on Wednesdays, and every Wednesday that I do show up, he's like, yo, what are we watching today? Like, what's going on there?
I gotta find you a tablet. Just a fucking tablet. Just something bigger, like a 10-inch screen. I
absolutely don't want a tablet. But he's just, he'll kind of check in here and there, and I told him we were watching The Patriot, and I looked at him and I was like, dude, I go, we just ambushed like 26 dudes. Only 5 people have died from hatchets. I go, I'm just waiting for the dude to get his cannonball head taken off. And he like He walked away to grab me another drink, and he came back down and I go, oh, he got. It's just, it is
so random too. Like it's just a battle that looks from the window, right?
It's so random.
They make it a point to show like 3 cannonballs smoke the turf, mm-hmm. and then one skip off the turf.
Why couldn't we get more of that energy? Like, dude, that's like, I want a cannonball that's fucking wiping people out. We need more of that energy in this movie.
You wanted just more like Michael Bay energy in The Patriot? Fucking,
the dude made Independence Day. He made a movie about the moon being aliens. Moonfall. This dude has that gear. Like, how is this movie so fucking boring?
I do want to say, for all of the everybody, no matter what gun they have, is just an absolute fucking marksman in this movie. Like, even Colonel What's His Nuts from the British smokes a dude down the river with a hand pistol 200 yards down the river
I will say that is also one of the other scenes that completely takes me out of the movie. Because every time I see that one, that's like insane.
No way you would hit that guy.
I mean, not that pistol literally has a range of like 30 feet.
Right.
Because I mean, that in one case,
you gotta shoot it. You gotta shoot it like 200 yards in the air and just hope it falls the right spot. Yeah.
And
terminal velocity.
And that one's definitely a smoothbore. That one ain't rifled. So there's like no zero accuracy with that one. So there's like zero chance of that.
But if we've got all these marksmen, like at least throw one of these guys back to figure out where the cannons are shooting. Like, there's so many cannonballs that are just wasted in the middle of battleground.
I love that in the last battle scene.
Okay, I got aim a super up. Nerdy. I have a super nerdy thing to ask.
Science. I don't know. I know.
Sorry, King Cowboy Hat. Feel free to make fun of me. Can they reuse cannonballs? Like, can they pick those suckers up? And, like, are they hard enough that, like, they're keeping this? Like, because I've seen, like, antique ones, right? When you go somewhere, like, are they reusable ammo?
But I would say potentially those type
like,
of cannonballs.
If you, like, wipe all the fucking brain matter off and, like, you know, polish those motherfuckers up, like,
I would say potentially, but I think the hardest part is that You're not gonna
search for them and collect them is the thing. Like if you happen to come across one that like
in the middle of a battle, I think that's just a dummy on the team that you like just won't keep busy. I think those idiots over there have them go pick up cannonballs.
I think they're probably still hard enough, even though they're not like super, you know, they don't know all the material science we know today. They're probably hard enough that if you skipped one across the ground for like 1,000 yards, yeah, you could probably pick it up and reuse it. But
what you're saying, if it's hard enough, it can be reused in certain situations.
Yeah, potentially. But again, you're not gonna send people out there to like collect cannons or try and find them. So
yeah. And also you have to remember not all cannons were the same caliber. So even if you found the cannonball, which cannon does it fit in? Does it fit in one of the cannons that we have?
Yeah, it has to be.
Let me just pull out my tape measure that I don't have yet.
Some cannonballs are growers, not showers, and that's fine.
So it's not like you could like pick up the cannonball and like try to fire it back at the British, that type of thing. Because
It's not like the grenades in movies that like somehow have like a 35-second pin where they can just like grab it and throw it back. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you look at those cannons that the French use at the end that are just big barrels.
That French guy might be... All right, we're going to talk about that. So, like, favorite character in a small role. That French dude might be, like, a hidden MVP to me. Mm. Like, I looked that dude up. I thought for sure he was in other... other things. Like, just some random stuff. Like, that dude's great. Comes on his dress uniform and he's like, well, if I'm gonna fucking die today, I might as well fucking look good. Like, just fucking love that shit.
He was good. He didn't have a lot of like extended like lines or anything, but when he was there talking, he was pretty good.
Pretty sure the French showed up before the last battle, but that's fine.
The French Navy didn't. Like, basically, they were sending they sent supplies and guys like our little French dude, I can't remember the Marquis, whatever his name was.
Well, there's a super, super
Marquis de Lafayette.
Yeah, Lafayette, right? This is not Lafayette here. This is just some random
another French advisor. Yeah. And I think he's more, I don't know if there would have been like a French advisor like attached to that regiment, or if that's just kind of, if he's sort of a stand in for that type of character that was with Washington. I think that's kind of what he's meant to be.
I guess where Washington was in this fucking movie, but it must be some other movie that he's in.
I thought he had like a small chunk.
So it was a decent, Frank Mason's a character actor's name. I thought was Washington. I think he must be in Samuel Adams. Maybe. Is it? It's not Sam Adams. What the fuck? The other Adams.
John
Minister.
Adams?
That one, the non-boozer. The one that actually did stuff, not Sam Adams, who just had a great publicist. What was that word you used earlier? That's Sam Adams.
Hagiography.
There we go. Mm-hmm. There we go. That word. But yeah, like, I like the French guy. I like that. Also, apparently, the French Navy is that guy that gets an A on the group project for just being there. Like,
hey, they showed up when they needed to. That was like, the Battle of Yorktown is actually fairly representative of what happens.
Right. I mean, I knew that. I knew that's where the war ended. Mm-hmm.
And actually, and we can get into this as we want to talk about like favorite scenes. The battle at the end, again, is they don't name it, but it's called the Battle of Cowpens. And basically, it kind of happens the way they portray it.
So put the militia in the middle.
Basically, goad the British into basically pushing through into the lines and then basically surrounding them with reserves they had in the back and kind of laying that trap for them.
Which is weird to me because, like, I don't want to come back to my favorite small actor because it's the guy who plays Cornwallis. He's in Batman Begins. He's in a bunch of other random shit. He's amazing. I think he passed away recently. But, like, Cowpens, according to Wikipedia, takes place in South Carolina. And, like, when you think of the Revolutionary War, that's just not a state that you think about. You don't think about this. You think of Virginia or Delaware when wherever the hell Valley Forge was when they crossed the river Delaware. That's not actually in Delaware, I don't think.
It was New Jersey, yeah.
Jersey, Trenton, yeah. So Trenton, like you think of like Philadelphia and other places, like you don't think of South Carolina. Basically, considering it's below North Carolina. Like, you sure as shit don't think about North Carolina when you think about the Revolutionary War, right? Like, it's like that's just not something that's on your radar.
Like, yeah, I think sort of when it, at least remembering back to when I learned it 20 years ago
when your football coach was American your history teacher.
You hear about the battles at Charleston and stuff like that, but it's very kind of one-off of just like, you know, the British came in, like the Americans really thought they had a stronghold in Charleston, they could hold it off, and then they just didn't, and they got overrun, and then that was just the game. And then
they get their asses beat at the Battle of Camden. That's the one where the guy gets the head blown off.
And you get
that's a good way to go out, to be honest. I'd rather have my head ripped off than my leg ripped off. I'm just saying.
You wouldn't want to be burned alive in a church?
I'm going through that window, I'm getting shot.
Even after that battle where the dude gets his head just clean taken off, that's when Mel Gibson rides into the camp, and he's riding through that whole fucking mess of 75 medical tents, and like there's guys with hatchets and saws that are just like, just hold him still, we're taking his whole fucking leg off, we're taking his foot off, we're just, and just, does it clot, who knows, it doesn't matter, he might die anyway, but we're just,
this for next is where 70 the injury years, is. That was the answer for next the Civil War, man. He's like, let's just take a limb off, fuck it.
There was
an answer for a long time.
Hey, the good news for Civil War,
everything got infected.
Yeah, well, I mean, that still happened, but the good thing for the Civil War, they actually did have some anesthesia at that point. Like, basically, they would basically, you know, in the movies where they take chloroform and put it over their face,
which takes like much longer than in the movies. Yeah,
so that's what they would do.
I don't know that from personal experience. Just saying.
But yeah, it does, and that's what they would do. They put it over their face for like 2 minutes. They pass them out, and then they chop the leg off.
I did learn way too late in life that when they said casualties in Civil War, it was not so much dead. It was wounded and dead. So like the numbers were always like crazy big. I mean, still a lot of people died. I'm not saying that a lot of them didn't die. But like it was, find out that was a lump sum.
Well, and yeah, I mean, when it comes to that time up until not all that long ago, relatively, like if you're talking about cutting a limb off or some serious injury, yeah, it's probably getting infected and you're going to, you know, die from it, or they're going to have to take more of the limb off.
Dude, Harry Stamper said a man can work with one hand. I heard him in Armageddon.
Not very well, though.
So, yeah, I mean, for sure. That's even if you go to even like World War II, like that's the beginning of sort of actual kind of modern first aid.
Yeah. Well, the good thing in World War II,
bare minimum
World War II
of treatment, like triage was not good. Like, I mean, and I mean, even for God's sakes, I mean, MASH was a show. If you go look at the fucking stories about things that happened in Vietnam and Korea for what happened in those MASH units, like,
good thing MASH is a comedy.
Gross. And yeah, otherwise it would have been really fucking sad, and it was still pretty fucking sad.
All right, I want to talk about Tom Wilkinson, though. He plays Cornwallis. He's my favorite little
actor. Thought we'd be distracted by Braveheart.
I haven't got the Braveheart yet. It's a better movie. Fucking better movie.
We do not need to go there. We're almost an hour in already.
All right, so Tom Wilkinson is my pick for small actor. He is the ultimate that guy. He is in the first Batman movie. Fucking love it. He's like, when he's talking to Bruce Wayne, he's like, your dad's a goddamn coward. He should have, you know, like, I could shoot you right here. He's also in numerous like British crime movies. Like, you recognize him. He's Cornwallis in this fucking. He's also, is he in Big Fish? He's not in Big Fish. I'm getting confused, but like, just a dude. Like, that's my pick. Like, who's your guys' like favorite like small actor? Like, because like, there's a ton of those guys in Benjamin Martin fucking there you go. Unit.
Round of applause.
Got it.
I have two that aren't like.
Apparently super... plays Benjamin Franklin. Sorry.
I have two that guys for me that neither of them are super famous. But as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh man, I didn't realize that this person was this, you know, this actor or whatever. So, and it's like right away because it's two of his kids. The first one is Trevor Morgan is the actor's name, and he's the kid from Genius, which is a Disney movie about a kid that plays like a double life, like going to school, like a college is like a 12-year-old, but also trying to play. It would be, yeah, it would be a movie that would be outside of your range of seeing. I'm curious if Tez remembers this movie, remembers that movie or not.
Now that you bring it up, I remember the idea of it.
Yeah.
Is he listed in the credits as dead dumbass son?
No, he is not. there's a second one who is Gregory Smith as the actor's name, and he's like the main kid in Small Soldiers.
He's also in other things. Yeah.
I mean, he's in other stuff, but it was like right away, it was like those two, like almost right away in the movie, I was like, I did not remember those, you know, child actors being in this movie.
Also, Chris Cooper, yeah, just rolling around as the other general.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, like I said, for me, for at least for what my history of this was, of seeing the movie, like I knew Heath Ledger was in it. There were plenty of moments rewatching it where I'm just like, oh, he's gonna die, oh, he's gonna die, oh, he's gonna die, and then he doesn't
until
2.5 hours into it. Like
in the most movie death possible. Like, my son was just like, shoot him in the head. Just shoot him in the head. Just like, baited kill him. He's like, shoot him again. He's not dead. Shoot him. And then he turns around and he shoots him. And he's just
double
like,
tap, God damn it.
Fucking told you he wasn't dead. He also kills the fucking preacher in that fucking moment. Right? Preacher dies in that spot. Because he's not evil enough. We got to kill the preacher, burn the whole church down, the young kid, and talk shit about the young kid dying, and then Gabriel. I mean, Gabriel did lose his wife, so I guess he had nothing left to go, but still.
Yeah, I don't think outside of the ones that have already been mentioned, I really had anybody that I didn't.
Dude, we're not even talking about Logan Lerman as one of the kids. Like, you'd recognize that motherfucker. Perks of Being a Wallflower, Theory. He's one of Benjamin Gates. God, motherfucker.
Falling back to his old ways.
One of the kids that doesn't die is the main character from Perks Being a Wallflower and Fury.
I actually did not even realize that.
I recognize that one. And of course, Adam Baldwin is the loyalist who's the guard in Independence Day, which is fucking awesome. Is this glass bulletproof? No, sir, it is not. And they just fucking blast that fucking alien. Double tapped that. They killed that fucking alien in the head. Should have killed the fucking general in the head. Just saying. Maybe he deserved to die. I mean, the character deserved. Oh, okay, I'm done.
I pulled his up, and he definitely had a good run in the mid 90s for all of that. Late 90s, I guess. So
there's
good moments, but
there's no gifts, right, from this movie. Which honestly, I'm surprised. Like when there's a U.S. World Cup match, like there's not like Benjamin Martin running with the flag.
There might be one sometimes, like him waving it, that type of thing.
I was thinking maybe when he like comes riding over the hill or whatever with the flag, when he didn't initially set off with him. I'm not saying that I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't a couple gifts like that from the movie, but people don't use. I don't see people using them frequently if there are.
Yeah, it's usually the one where he's riding up as they're heading to the battle of Cowpens after he's like found the Heath Ledger's flag that he was repairing, and he finishes repairing it, and then he's riding up. I've seen that one used before, but it's not. That's kind of about it.
And then he doesn't go out to revenge right away. He has to like run out with the flag with no weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Except the sharp ass point of the flag that he does not impale anybody with, which it's fine.
He impaled that horse pretty good.
That's true. The horse didn't do shit. Horse didn't know what he was doing.
Well, and I had in my notes too, after he impales that the horse, they ADR a bone cracking noise. Like the horse falls on its neck and breaks its neck and just it got stabbed.
Are you hearing that at a bar? How the fuck are you picking that up at the
bar? I have an AirPod in. That's why I listen to them. I understand you don't trust my process, but I trust my process. God damn it. I have a good process.
Real quick before we get to any goosebumps moments, let's spend the next 5 minutes discussing how Benjamin Martin is trying to bone his dead wife's sister. And she even calls him out on it. She's like, do you just see her? And he's like, nah, no, of course not. No, you're a fully formed different person. And like every single dude's girlfriend's just like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, you're one guy. How's this going to work? Like, how's that relationship going to work?
Yeah, and then so I had...
Are the kids going to be okay with this?
Oh, the kids were absolutely fine with it, too, which is another thing. I was like, okay.
So
it's Molly 2.0. It's just the same person.
My note on this was, and somehow I accidentally started a table in my notes. I don't know how to do that. But I did that because I was frantically taking notes of... And it is, he's banging Charlotte. This is going to confuse the fuck out of the kids. And then immediately after, oh, they don't care. This is what the kids today call a hard launch. He's just making out with her in front of the kids as they leave.
Well, did y'all catch it at the very end when he's pulling up and they're rebuilding this house for him for whatever reason? That she's
well, holding... She has a perfectly good house. Her house is fine. It didn't get burnt down.
Yeah, they did.
Burned her house down. Yes, what are you talking about?
Oh, I thought they burned his house down.
Then
they burned her both down.
Another reason that guy's an asshole.
They burnt everything down.
Because they figured out who it was, and then they went after his family, and that's when they like that's when the kid's like hiding underneath the table and Tarleton's like looking for him, and then he like hides, and then these
and he cocks a gun and somehow doesn't get shot in the face by the
exactly. That's the
Heath Ledger's character does that dumbass kid underneath the table somehow lived. Fucking idiot.
Oh, anyways, so last thing. Did you notice when they're rebuilding this house at the end, she's carrying a baby?
I did not notice that. Well, I thought maybe you were going to say she was was pregnant.
No, she's not. She's holding a baby.
Huh. Well, they got to fix. They lost two. They got to get back up.
Got to refresh the farm, the fleet of.
I was not very. My math was called math. I feel like you're 7/5 and you lose 2/5. You got to get more fifths. Seven more sevens. Fucking goddamn it!
I'm gonna say, are we gonna start talking about 3/5 or something right here? Because that's
I'm just saying like
that's 5 shillings a month from what I hear.
I'm just saying what Benjamin Martin does when they show that Pornhub map is like that's like 5 states. Like that's like he's filling in categories. But we don't kink shame on this podcast. Whatever he wants to do, that's fine.
What did you just say? The Pornhub map.
Yeah, when they like show like what everyone's favorite category is, like dead sister banging. Like that's a dead wife sister banging.
Okay, I think I understand how you got to what you just said, but
you know it's fine. It's all right. So
if we ever start clipping quotes from this podcast to create our own intro, that has to
Cowboy Hat has no idea what the fuck he came into. It's fine.
I will say of all the unnecessary things in this movie, that is the most unnecessary.
Makes no sense. It's like Mel Gibson like made a script and he's like, I want to kiss this actress, like make it happen. It doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, and considering what we know about that man now, like it feels like that could be a very much like a production note that came down the row.
Anyways,
unless John has any last dead wife, sister.
No, I don't.
So I want to. Can we dwell on this though for one second?
Absolutely. I love to dwell.
Because okay, so is the baby? Like I said at the end.
Oh God.
Of the other 5 remaining kids, it is both a half.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Half.
I was told there'd be no
cousin and half sibling.
Yeah.
Again, in my notes of why this could be super confusing for the children.
So.
This is a half
brother. I think half sibling overrides.
Cousin. I don't think it's a half sibling. It's like a 2/3 sibling. Like I feel like.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's not just half.
Like, I'm just saying, like, because like they yeah, have I mean, 50% of mom. And
if
now,
you were to 23 and me this, it's and like, now, three so, like
now, so now this other kid has 50% of. They both have 50% of dad, and then I'm assuming some DNA of the moms. Are connected, right? Like
so we're gonna go with instead of a half sibling cousin, we're just gonna go with three-fourths sibling.
Yeah, I think if you
feel like mentioning three-fourths in this time of history is not a place we want to go to.
If we genetically do this, it's a 75% sibling.
Did they really? I mean, when they were making this movie, they realized this was South Carolina, not Alabama, right? I say as I'm. Went to school with help.
Oh my god,
that's amazing.
How do you think they explain that to other kids when that kid gets older? This is our, anyways. That is a...
actually probably right. Everyone would be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Checks out, we're good.
All right,
I mean, I think usually they never explained it, they just drowned those babies in the river.
They tried and then they
all right,
and,
anyway,
and then they parted the Red Sea later. Any Goosebumps moments in this movie? And I'm assuming that there isn't, and I'm just gonna discuss my favorite Goosebumps movie from Braveheart. Is when he shows up and he's like, yeah, you could die, you could go home and be a coward, or you could fight and we could do that shit. How's there not a speech like that in this fucking movie? How's there not any like inspirational speech in this fucking movie? Pisses me off.
I am surprised there wasn't like one big speech that they tried to make. Like
the dude made Independence Day, like he has that in his bag.
It's a.
They didn't want to make it 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Yeah, fuck. It's a weird, almost like reversed engineered to make the story work because it is like I think the speech that is supposed to be that is. His first speech of just like, I have a family. I'm a family. Yeah, I was the
also
most brutal guy. And
speaking
then
of his family, I judged him for melting down
guy
that last
that
figure.
Don't get me started on melting down these goddamn figures on the smallest flames on the planet, and they just turn into liquid immediately.
I feel like the movie's better.
He turns them into absolute fucking bullets that fly through bodies. That's not how metallurgy works.
Metallurgy.
It's like
science,
it's
of
like,
metals.
God damn it, that's an actual word. Fucking I want to make fun of him.
Yes, it is.
It's sort of like alchemy, but different. You didn't play enough computer games when you were 8 years old.
Alchemy at all, but yeah, sure.
It's a little bit like alchemy. It's all about melting shit.
It's like alchemy, only it's like actual real science.
Real, yeah.
Yeah. I will say those are all, they're supposed to be made out of lead. Lead does have a low melting point. And a lot of those pistols, because again, they are.
I do understand that, but like mm-hmm. the first one that they show him melting down
uh-huh.
is on literally the tiniest, like a candle flame.
Yeah.
You're not melting lead in a metal spoon over that. You're not getting that giant thick spoon hot enough to melt that down. It's
either way I'm just saying he should have melted the last figure down. He should have like realized I've killed two of my sons on this fucking battle. Maybe I need to keep one more figure that I can look in the goddamn thing later when I'm banging my dead wife's sister and like thinking about good thoughts with my dead son. Like he didn't need to melt it down considering he doesn't even kill the fucker with that gun.
That's my problem with that is it's like if you're gonna do that and give clear like you know symbolism of that, like just have him kill him with it. I mean, I feel like that would be pretty simple and would make me feel better about it.
He doesn't even come with a hatchet, right? He just stabs the fucker.
Yeah, hatchet gets knocked away, ends up stabbing him with a
triangular
bayonet.
Which makes no sense. Like he has these two weapons that are his weapons, and neither one ends this asshole. Which Jason Patrick just amazing
can we
asshole.
Also just also touch on the fact of the colonel, corporal, whatever the fuck his rank is, that does end up killing Heath Ledger.
He's a general.
He's a colonel.
He reloads his little pistol to shoot the only 80-year-old man in existence at the time, who's pointing a rifle at him. And as he falls down, he just launches the gun up to Heath Ledger, just straight into shooting for
him. Oh, you mean the goddamn preacher? And the preacher gets killed?
Yeah, and then he just kind of puts it into his forearm to turn him in. Just like, again, it's the only time nobody hit a shot in this movie. It's everybody else spot on. He missed that one.
Speaking of 80-year-old man,
Mel Gibson missed his shot with the cannonball goes off behind him.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, with the dead son's soldier thing.
Maybe that was the problem with the. Maybe that's the reason why he was so ambitious. He was playing with too much lead. There's apparently a lot of lead that time, which is actually probably accurate. So.
Speaking of old men in war, Sean, I once stopped to go to the bathroom at this historical monument near my house, near my hometown. And it was the oldest man to ever serve in the Civil War's grave. Beside it, like well away from this grave, like 15 feet away, either way. He started serving when he was 80 years old and he survived the whole war, came back out at 84. So did not, I want to mention, yards away from this fucking monument that I go to the bathroom. I'm nowhere near this guy's grave. I've already said too much tonight that I'll get judged for. Before we finish Notebook, is there anything we did not realize was from this movie? Besides being...
I'll say the one quote, which I actually thought was a real quote from someplace, but turns out it's just from this movie, was...
Oh, no.
Because I looked it up recently. It was the one where he's given his speech at the beginning. And he's like, why should I trade one tyrant 1,000 miles away for 1,000 tyrants 1 mile away?
Yeah.
So I thought that was like an actual like quote that they had just put in the movie. I think it's just from the movie.
IMDb says there is an extended version of this movie, by the way.
Actually, I watched the extended version. It's not that much longer.
Okay. Yeah,
it was available on Amazon, I believe, when I was watching today. And when I looked at what the time of the regular one was, I'm just like, yeah, I don't think I need the extended one. Yeah, I guess I didn't have any I never realized it was the aim small, miss small was from this, but I use that a lot in life. Like, I play a lot of darts. I play bar games, and it is just when you do shit, it's aim small, miss small. Like,
oh, thank you.
But I don't think I had anything else quote wise like there were a few little moments I didn't mark down, at least write down. The only other thing I had that was even close to a quote moment is gave me a giggle while I was watching the movie, was when he's doing that final battle and he gives the forward march order. It's just the Mel Gibson finally deep yell, and it sounds a lot like Sylvester Stallone from Rocky, which made me want to see this movie with Sylvester Stallone in that role. And I think that would just be
even better. I'm just really annoyed. Like,
would be incredible.
How much fun Braveheart is. I've not seen Braveheart in like 15 years compared to this. I cannot get over, like, Braveheart does not seem like a 3 hour long movie. I know it's 3 hours long, but I just feel like it moves quicker. I know Braveheart is complete, utter bullshit, by the way. I understand this. I don't care. It still makes me happy.
But you haven't watched it in 15 years.
Buddy, I want to. It's in my DVD. It's sitting there. Trying to convince a 13-year-old to watch a three-hour movie is not easy. It's not easy peasy. So
yeah, I would imagine not.
He fell asleep during The Abyss last night. He has like 25 minutes left. So
I don't think I had anything else on this. I mean, I had a note that as I was watching, when they got to the part where Susan was talking and she said she hated him and that stuff, it clicked in my brain. I was like, oh yeah, there's a scene in here where she's like running after him, begging him to stay. And I obviously can't, you come up on that part pretty quick, but
if Gabriel stayed, he'd still be alive. Just saying.
Maybe. Yeah.
Gabriel's up there with fucking Charlie from Young Guns. He gets married and he just goes and dies, man. Just save your wife.
I think my only other note is, well, okay, I have two other notes. One of them is, okay, I'll lead with probably the less controversial one of, I think all of these guys are revolutionaries. They're recent British immigrants. I feel like there's just got to be a lot more British accents for revolutionaries, honestly, when it comes to it. And I just, we don't recognize that. The only other thing I had was, we have Susan, the nonverbal 5-year-old, and RFK is going to tell you autism was created 30 years ago. So
she started talking, man.
It was trauma related.
It's okay. Her new mom taught her how to talk. Then they call her auntie mom.
She's free now.
That's the other question. What are they going to call her? Is that aunt mom or mom?
Auntie mom is like the opposite of mom, but also it makes sense that auntie mom. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. There is the one other thing of.
Also feel like he.
Nobody has Gates looked more like a
small, hit small in the bedroom, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
That's how you end up with more kids.
He's a marksman.
that's how he impregnated me.
Fair enough.
Jake is so ashamed of all of us.
I did have down. Nobody's looked more like a Charlotte in the 1700s than that actress and the way they did her makeup. Just spot on. Good for them. As soon as they showed her and just went, her name's Charlotte. Yeah, that's a Charlotte in the 1700s. Out. Yep.
So by the way, I did look, the extended cut is 11 minutes longer on Amazon than the regular one.
I cannot imagine what else happens in that movie.
It's really not much is the reason why they cut it out. Like there's like, it's actually, most more, of the
did
scenes.
Did they do cartwheels in the retreat?
Is that more cannonball shots?
No, actually they, before the battle, like comes to, Martin's house at the very beginning, they have like the boys, they go down by like the river nearby and there's like bodies floating by, like the battle's getting close, yeah. That type of thing.
So does so Spielberg steal that from?
Probably. It's very much like that scene from War of the Worlds. It's kind of weird. That's probably why they cut it out, because it's kind of weird. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
I do want to say
Dinosaur Lander.
I think sort of we touched on it, but also I know we talked about like moments that took you out of the movie, but at least one that brought me back in is when they do the little Cornwallis scene when he brings in that dude and he just has that full talk. And he's just talking about, yo, dude, you're being way too brutal. Like what you do is reflects on me and the way we do this. And I know we touched on it a little bit, but like, I thought that was, obviously, it is a pivotal moment of the
movie. I heard your father begged.
Because
begged for his life.
That's where he tries to soften up, but then he just, dude, you know, you have the back end part of it and just like, yeah, I can find the ghost and I can bring him in, but I'm going to have to be, what do you say?
How many people does he kill? Does the ghost kill in that first little hit? Like
about 20.
26, it's a little, something it's like that.
A little bit over a squad, I think. Yeah. It might be
it's a lot of fucking dudes.
Yeah.
I think he kills like 18. I think his kids kill like 6.
Something like that, yeah.
And again, those kids, everybody's a fucking marksman. I know he's the whole thing is he's trained his kids, all of his sons, how to shoot. That's the game. He's a military man. But man, that one kid is, yeah, 8 years old and just perched up on a log and just sniping dudes.
I just watched a Poker Face episode where an alligator kills someone. Then once they taste blood, I'm just saying that kid's going to turn into a goddamn psycho. Just saying. He's murdering people. Battle of 1812. Anyway, I'm done talking.
I have one thing to close it out. Favorite scene of the movie. is when they're having.
Oh yeah, that's a category we didn't talk about.
Yeah, well, when they're having the ball, the
not
British
the cannonball.
Yeah, the British are having their little.
Oh party. Yeah, that's where the quotes I had that I didn't write down. That's where they come from.
Yeah, so he they scroll up and they the ship has just arrived with supplies and they blow it up, right?
And that woman's like, "Yay! Fireworks!"
And one actually from there, we don't. It isn't a GIF, but it should be a popular GIF. Is when Tarleton, like, when it explodes, and she said, "Oh, fireworks!" And he like turns around and just like downs his drink,
slams his martini.
That should be a GIF right there.
And it's just as they're rowing away in that boat, and one of the guys that's in the red coat just goes, "This stinks," and he goes, "Yeah, there was a dead guy in it."
That's the French guy, because he's like, "I hate being in these British clothes."
Yeah, it stinks. Yeah, there's a dead man in it. I think he throws another one right before that too, and it just they are two good one-liners. Like, you couldn't ever use them in real life, because I really hope your friends aren't wearing dead men's clothes.
It's a nice hat. Let's get a bowl of soup with that.
Yeah.
Let's get on here.
Yeah, that one lady just goes nuts. Yay, fireworks. And he just slams that martini glass. And it is from the scene. It looks like he just sets it down, but it does do a, and even the caption showed just glass shattering.
Yeah.
And it's the most timid, like, glass shatter. And that, did have an idea of just like, do you think there's a copyright on that timid little glass shattered noise, like a Wilhelm scream sort of thing, where do you have to pay money to get that tiny little glass shatter put in a movie, like if it's not natural to ADR it? Like, that's movie production stuff, obviously. But I'm just like, it looks like he slams it down and just sets the glass down, but it does show glass shattering and all of that. And it's just like, he didn't slam it down. And I think it would have been better if he full on just aggressively set it down, but it looks like he tilts it up and his eyes kind of roll and just like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
And then it looks like he kind of softly sets the martini glass down, but it shows and it plays glass shattering.
All right. Anyway, so we can go to bed. Also, I just feel like we made this movie sound much more fun than it is, and that's fine. Jake is shaking his head at me.
Oh, no. I was not purposely shaking my head at you. I think this movie's fine.
I don't know
that it's worth 2 hours and 45 minutes of your life.
We should have watched Benjamin Gates steal the goddamn Declaration of Independence instead.
I'm down for that.
Next year,
that's a fun movie.
I'll have to get my wife on here for that one, because that's like her favorite movie.
Dude, the first one, it's fucking fun. Like, I haven't seen the second one in a very long time.
It's a lot of goofy shit that doesn't make sense, but it's a lot of fun.
Say, if you want a list of stuff, I'm like, what the hell? This is not how anything works.
Well, I mean, I was thinking like, at some point, we should do Saving Private Ryan, but also, like, I'm not sure if this podcast could handle that one well, because we're a bunch of joking assholes. Also, Vin Diesel dies like a bitch in that movie, but anyways.
Sure he does. I always forget Vin Diesel's in that movie.
There's several people in that movie I forget about.
Like, so many, like, Nathan Fillion's in that movie. Sean's gone, so I feel like that should just be the exit.
Yeah.
Next time Sean's gone. Till next time. Ted Flint, King Cowboy Hat, Professor G on Blueski. Come to Blueski, everyone. It's much more fun over there. Like, it's just, I understand there's not lots of us, but it's more fun. We're a much more jolly crew. Jake Voss, and like I said, Sean Chantez, Festman, who's disappeared. Our takes got too hot for him. So I'll talk to you guys later, all right?
All right, see you.